Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. Homeroom Monday after the 4th. What a weekend. Oh, fellas, all I can say right now is that I'm tired. It's a long weekend. You know, celebrating our nation's birth. And maybe more importantly, celebrating. No, I won't say celebrating the big, beautiful Bill.
Enough of that.
Okay, look, you said, you know, a little bit here. In the future, I want to talk more about this.
In the year 2000.
In the concept, as we go for this, there was an article that came out the other day, and I know I shared it with you guys, but you might not have looked at it. But 150 years ago, the school model in rural America, you know, so think about it, picture making a comeback. And the results, and again, what do you mean by results? I'm not talking about test scores, right? Pretty remarkable. And is that something that we should be looking at more seriously? And anybody's 150 years ago, rural America now is calling it back. Think about it. What did schooling look like back then? Jacob, the first image that comes to your mind if I'm imagining public schools or just schooling, education 150 years ago, what do you think of, my friend?
I know that it had a lot of good things, Tim, but there was also a high churn.
Well, you know, I'm thinking
of Little House on the Prairie, Tim.
Oh my God, I am so glad you said that. I was like,
but I had
Little
a butter
House.
Joke, so I had to start there.
No, Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, one room schoolhouse.
Yeah,
one room schoolhouse, and thinking about it, what does that mean? Yes, it means exactly. You're like, wait, one room, like all the kids in a certain area. One teacher in one classroom, and like kindergartners with second graders, with middle schoolers, with high school seniors, all together in the same classroom all day during the year. That feels like some kind of sad joke. Who would imagine such a thing? Well, Johnny, at least according to what we're seeing here out of this article, and I said I wanted to set this because, you know, I've put out some invites to some guests, hopefully future guests that are associated with this movement, and I want to get them on the show to kind of give us an inside look at this because, Johnny, one of the things we do on Busted Pencils is we say, you know, if there's great education out there, we want to hear about it. We want to see it. And at least according to this first article that I'm looking at, it's going really well in these, you know, experimental one-room schoolhouses with all grades, all ages. They're looking at a ratio of about 20 to 1 is what they're holding fast on. That's 20 students to one teacher and a mandatory also adult teacher helper or a teacher aide. And so you have two adults for 20 children, all ages, all grades, working together. And, you know, a lot of cooperative learning going on, older kids helping the younger kids start to learn some things, the younger kids seeing, you know, some great role modeling in the older kids designing, you know, in-depth projects, bringing in, and, you know, here's the other thing. Actually, they're using technology in these one-room schoolhouses. So for anybody, Jacob, the image of Little House on the Prairie, I think, is where we go to first. But the image here of the one-room schoolhouse isn't that kind of, you know, the Franklin stove in the corner and somebody putting lumps of coal in it and a dunce hat. It's just the concept of a multi-aged classroom. With a reality of saying we can teach everybody because thematic education can be taught to second graders and seniors, Johnny.
Well, Tim, I agree with some of this and I disagree with a big chunk of it too, but
I love this idea of where, you know, I think sometimes we call them micro schools.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and the learning is intergenerational. It's spread across. I mean, there's probably listeners out there who are like, hey, sounds like my living room. I homeschool, you know, or anybody who had a really good pod system going during COVID. Again, remember we yeah. here at Busted Pencils, we like to talk about what we learned and right. our learning during that era that gets dinged so heavily for learning loss. I mean, we learned a lot, what works, what doesn't work. And most certainly we've critiqued it for a while, right? Like what sense is it in taking 30 plus kids who are all born around the same time and chucking them in a room together with one adult, you know, in a canned curriculum? It just doesn't work mm-hmm. that well. So allow for more personalization, more differentiation. Now, I do think, I think it's tough, man. And I mean, I think the like what a preschooler and kindergartner and first grader are learning compared to what a 12th grader are learning, you know,
big distance.
Yeah. But that said, I think you structure it the right way and you have more breaks in the day and you have more like shared responsibilities. And, you know, these micro schools or community schools, as we might even refer to them as, I love the ratio under 20 to 1, you know, some age differentiation, some grouping, some really great teachers involved in the process. And there's a ton. I know it. There's a ton you can get accomplished. So I'm a big fan of this, even though I'm like, oh, hold on. I think we're painting it, the okay. picture a little differently than probably how it's successful. Because I still am imagining a tiny little room, you know, everybody sitting together. And it's, you know, it's pretty much the older kids are taking care of the younger kids and everybody's working. But I know that's not what it is. And it's pretty exciting stuff. I call them micro schools. I think it's my own aversion to like, what's evoked when we say, hey, let's do one room schoolhouses and all the Make yeah. America Great people are like, that's what we've been talking about. Let's drive it back 150 years, you know, and I worry and I cringe because, again, like we are talking about like rolling it back on so many things. Like it wasn't all great back then, but the localization, you know, the take what we know today and apply it to some things that were working for a really long time. Mm. And, you know, the one thing about, you know, the capacity we have as educators, right? We talk about this on Busted Pencils. What can and ought our public schools be? Well, one of the great capacities we have is the ability to change, you know? And I hear this, Tim, I love this because it's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I'm like, no one room schoolhouses, throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, hey, what's really great about what worked for a really long time? What's not so great? Let's take out the not so great. Let's accentuate and run with what worked and what is great from that and right. bring it with the best of what we know today and bring the two together. That's a win-win, man. Yeah. That's democracy in action. I'm a fan of this. So I'm stoked that you've connected with some people doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and listener, if you're catching, you download this pod and you've got experience with this, maybe you're in a like really successful homeschool group or a local small school or you're micro schooling yourself. Like, let's get you on. Let's learn more about this, Tim, because I love it, man. Big fan.
Yeah, love it, too. Yeah, take away that image, you know, of Laura Ingalls Wilder sitting there and so.
Nothing wrong with that either, man. I just got some good memories of watching some old-timey stuff. But, yeah, you know, take away that it's not for all my Michigan folks. It's not a trip to Greenfield Village. But little trivia, Tim, you ever been there? Ford's Museum in Greenfield Village over there in Southeast Michigan. We got to go. We got to do a rendezvous over in Southeast Michigan, especially as Civic Media expands its network.
Yeah.
We got to get over there to Michigan. But it's not as old-timey as we're joking about, you know, because, Tim, you talked about there's technology involved.
Yeah.
I just see the ability to differentiate and personalize and make practical so much of the learning. Situated in place, understanding individuals and young people, and might be a stopgap in this time of like really radically hurting public schools through funding. This might be a way to, you know, to counterattack.
Yeah, and actually, we're not going to get too deep into it, but that is considered one of the benefits is that this is cheaper, and more efficient, and so. Whoa, yeah, Tim and Johnny talking about being more efficient in schooling and being cheaper. Hey, look, we were never fund things that aren't working in ridiculous inordinate amounts. We want things that work. And hey, you know what? If you can do it cheaper, even better. Let's replicate the model. But man, you guys, homeroom again. What a weekend. Loved hanging out, doing all the 4th of July stuff. But man, I need to get a little bit of time and get ready for Wednesday for classes in session. So now it's time for your moment of zen.
Buttons are crazy. Really long weekend.
The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory.
Hey, listener, we hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We're glad you joined us today for Homeroom. If you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, you know where you can find us, Apple, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts from. But you can always find us at civicmedia.com and on our website at bustedpencils.com. And don't forget to download Class in Session on Wednesday and grab Producer's Choice on Friday. That's right. Jacob runs a special show where he interviews Tim and Johnny. And then listeners, pencil busters out there, you can always tune in. And you can always listen to Busted Pencils weekend broadcast on the Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time, broadcast across all the Civic Media networks for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.